Hello and welcome to this broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. I'm glad that you're able to join with us as we come to consider the Word of God and we come to hear what God has to say to us. And we thank God that today we do have the Word of God and we rejoice that the Lord is the one who comes and draws near to us. We thank the Lord that He is omnipresent, and therefore though we be separated one from another today, yet we rejoice that the Lord is with us. And we remember the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ when He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I trust that you will know that promise today being realized wherever you are, as you join into this broadcast. And it is my prayer that the Lord will speak to you today. And I would exhort every one of you to ask the Lord to draw near to you, that His presence would be felt in a real way, even in your home or wherever you are, and that the Lord will speak to us from His precious word. Could you please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read together from verse 28 into chapter 3 to verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 28. And the Word of God says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this reading of His own word to our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer as we come to God's word now. And I would ask every one of you to join in prayer with me as we come to the scriptures. Our gracious Lord, how we do rejoice that Thou art always faithful to us, Thy people. And we thank Thee, Lord, that this is shown so marvellously in times of difficulty and of trial. We rejoice, Lord, as we read the scriptures and we see, O Lord, Your great goodness and faithfulness to Your people in days of old. And we thank Thee, Lord, that You are the same. You change not. We rejoice, O Lord, that You are Jehovah, the I Am, and we turn to Thee this day in all of our need, Lord, confessing our weaknesses and frailties, and asking Thee, O Lord, to be mindful of our needs, and to look upon us in favour. O Lord, remember each one who listens into this broadcast. We pray that You will meet with them, and we pray that, Lord, through the preaching of Your word, Lord, the church will be built up and strengthened, that the faith, O Lord, of Thine own blood-bought people will be built up. O Lord, we look to Thee, the Sovereign God, and we pray that You will, O God, display Your power in these days, that, Lord, You will be the strong tower for us. Lord, we flee to Thee today, and we pray, O Lord, for Thee to come and to bless us today. O Lord, minister to each one. from your word. We thank thee that Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and we pray that he will move amongst the sheep, that, Lord, you will come to our aid. O Lord, remember us now as we turn to the Scriptures. We pray that the Spirit of God will give that help that is needed. O Lord, open our minds, open our hearts to thy truth. And we pray that, Lord, your word, which is unchanging, will come in freshness to us today. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My text is found in 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 1, where we read, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." One of the many things that the Word of God does is to draw the attention of the Christian to certain truths which they should focus upon and meditate upon. And one of the ways that the Word of God does this is through the particular words which the Holy Ghost uses to make this point very clear. One of them is observed in our text for today. We read at the beginning of 1 John 3 in the verse 1, "Behold, behold." This word "behold" means to look upon, to perceive, or to contemplate. It is an active and urgent word. It really involves a discerning gaze that results in a person understanding what they are looking upon. Its meaning is illustrated very well for us in John 20 and the verse 8. And there we read of the Apostle John entering the sepulchre of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he entered in, he viewed the evidence of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And we read, "He saw and believed." And that really is what this word means. He saw and believed. He wasn't just a spectator. He wasn't just merely looking on at what had happened. But he understood the significance of the evidence he was viewing. And he knew that it was true. And therefore, this word "behold" is calling us to focus our minds upon what God has done. Now, this is the teaching of Philippians 4 in the verse 8. If you turn with me for a moment in your Bibles to Philippians 4 in the verse 8, and we think about this word "behold," drawing our attention to focus our minds upon what God has done. And we read in Philippians 4 and the verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so it is clear then that the apostle is urging the Philippian believers to think upon these virtues, these things that are worthy of praise, anything that is commendable and excellent in the sight of God is to occupy our thoughts. See, there is this positive aspect to Christian living. We are not merely to abstain from evil thoughts, but we are positively to engage in the exercise of meditation upon Jesus Christ. As we think of these qualities mentioned in Philippians 4 and the verse 8, that we are to muse upon, are they not epitomized in our Lord Jesus Christ? Is he not true and honest and just and pure and lovely and so on? Is it not clear as we think of these things that we are to think about that We are to think about Jesus Christ. We are to meditate upon him. Or as Hebrews 12 and the verse 3 says, consider him. Think upon him. Meditate upon him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And we observe here then that fainting and weariness is something that we all know, we all experience, and yet we can be kept from that by focusing our minds upon Christ and trusting him to bring peace to us. Now we all know by our own experiences that this is not easy. Our minds are constantly assaulted with temptations, by the thinking of the world, and of course the devil himself. And there is a battle for the mind. There is a battle against the mind by Satan, who is seeking to corrupt people, to convince them that there is no hope, to drive them to despair. And his aim is to lead believers astray as well. He does not merely just seek to kill, steal, and to destroy those who are lost, but he seeks as well to distract God's people from their blessedness in Jesus Christ, to fill their minds with fear and unbelief. And perhaps you've experienced some of that of late. We know of these things in our own experience. And that is why it is so important then that our minds be directed by the scriptures. And that our minds be directed to what the scriptures say that we are to think upon. And this text highlights that we are to think, to meditate, to look upon the amazing love of the Father in adopting us. That is what we see in this verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so I want to consider with you, beholding the Father's love for his children. Beholding the Father's love for his children. Firstly, we must ask the question as we approach this text. What is this love? What is this love that John wishes us to behold? Love is spoken of so much in the world today, and there are so many different forms. But we need to be sure and to know what kind of love this really is. I want you to observe that this is a fatherly love. It is a fatherly love. John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And so this love comes to us from God the Father, who is not only the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he is our Father. John is not referring generally to God's love for us, but he is focusing particular on the Father's love. And he does so because the three persons of the Trinity relate to us in different ways. God the Holy Ghost is our regenerator, our comforter. He is the one who indwells us and infills us, and therefore he relates to us in that way. But God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our Savior, our elder brother, our bridegroom, our head. And there are many other ways that Christ relates to us. He is the one who has died for us. And so God the Son relates to us in that way. But God the Father, he is our Father. He is the one who has chosen us and the one who has adopted us. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul speaks of God the Father's work in redemption And he says in Ephesians 1 and the verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And this again is still speaking of the Father, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And so there we see the Father relates to us. As a father, he has chosen us. He has predestinated us. He has adopted us. Now we must remember that we are loved by all three persons of the Godhead. And that is a marvelous truth. But it is true that each person of the Godhead loves us in a particular way. And we see here that God the Father loves us in a fatherly way. He relates to us as a father, and we relate to him as dependent children. And this relationship is beautifully expressed in 2 Corinthians 6 and the verse 18. And we read, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And what a comfort it is in these days to know that we have a Heavenly Father who relates to us as a father, and that we, as his children, dependent as we are, and we experience our dependency every day, yet do we not have here great cause to rejoice that God has said to us, "I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters"? How comforting this is. It is a fatherly love. But furthermore, it is a foreign love. It is a foreign love. We read in our text, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Notice the phrase, "what manner of love." This is a particular expression that was used by the ancient Greeks to ask a person, "from what country are you from?" or "from what realm are you from?" And it is used in this way in Matthew 8 and the verse 27. If you just turn with me, please, to that passage, Matthew chapter 8 and the verse 27. And this is that scene whenever the Lord calms the sea and the waves are stilled. The disciples are astonished. And we read in Matthew 8 in the verse 27, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now notice that phrase, "what manner of man." That actually could be read, "What kind of man is this?" or "what sort of man?" And it's the same expression that is used here in our text. What manner of love? What kind of love is this? What realm does this love come from? It emphasizes, therefore, that this love doesn't belong to the natural realm. It is not part of the ordinary human experience. Rather, this love is supernatural. It is divine. It is foreign to natural men, because it is the love of God. It is unparalleled to anything that we know of in our own experience. You might ask the question, why is this love so foreign? Why is it from another realm? Well, of course, it is so because it comes from God the Father. But then consider who the Father loves, because he loves us. And he loved us when we were by nature children of wrath. He loved us when we were rebels, enemies of God, despisers of his blessed Son, when we had no desire to be restored to fellowship with God in and of ourselves. And here's the amazing thing. God doesn't love us when we are adopted. He does, of course. But the amazing thing is that God the Father loved us before we were adopted. What an amazing thing this is. John, as he comes into chapter 3, is overwhelmed by the thought that we as sinners are received, loved, redeemed, and adopted into God's family. And so this phrase then, what manner of love? It indicates astonishment at the Father's love. I wonder whether or not today you are astonished at this love. Are you amazed that the Father's love is such that he would adopt you as a sinner to be his child? Is this not incredible that God the Father would take those who have rejected him and sinned against him and would take them as his children? Truly, this is a love from another realm. It is a supernatural love, and surely these words are appropriate. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Surely this should be what we meditate upon and what occupies our thoughts. In Jude chapter 1 and the verse 21, we read the words, keep yourselves in the love of God. And that really is what we should do. The word keep there means to attend to guard or to care for. We are to meditate upon, we are to keep the love of God close to our hearts. How often do you meditate upon the Father's love for you in adopting you? How often do you think about it? It is interesting to note as well that the Trinitarian benedictions that we find in the New Testament underline this same point. We read of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. And of course, the reference to the love of God is the love of the Father. And so this is something that we need to meditate upon. This fatherly, this foreign love. But moreover, it is a free love. It is a free love. We read in our text, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And so this love is bestowed upon us, which simply means to give. In other words, this love is given. This amazing love is poured out upon us from the infinite heart of our Heavenly Father without any cause in us, without any reason in us. You see, here's the amazing thing about the love of the Father. He loves us because he has chosen to love us. And the Lord says that to his ancient people in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And if you look back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and here the Lord explains why he chose Israel. And it underlines what we are seeing here, that God the Father's love is a free love. Deuteronomy 7 and the verse 7, it says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so there is the love of the Father, without any cause in us, but it has come from the God of infinite love. What we have learned about the Father's love is perfectly illustrated in the parable of the prodigal son. And think with me on that parable. What fatherly, what foreign, and yet what free love was shown to that rebellious and yet repentant son. He deserved to be rejected. He deserved, whenever he returned to the Father, to not be received in the manner that he was, and yet the Father embraced him and showed amazing love to him. And surely, as the Father received the prodigal son, it could have been said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon the prodigal son." And yet you and I, as God's people, need to remember that we were the prodigal son, and we have been freely loved by our Father with a love that is foreign to all that we have ever known. This is the love by which we are loved, and surely that causes our hearts to leap for joy. Think of it today, the kind of love that the Father has bestowed upon you, this fatherly, foreign, and free love. And may that grip your heart. May it cause you to be overwhelmed in joy and in praise to your Heavenly Father. And may that even keep your heart. And may it indeed thrill you as you think upon it. This is this love of the Father. But then secondly and finally, we must ask the question, how can we be sure of this love? How can we be sure of this love? We have seen what the Father's love is. But how can we be sure of it? It is common to all of us that at times we have doubted God's love. And if we're honest, we would all admit there are times where we have been caused to doubt. This is something that we cannot excuse. And we must seek forgiveness from the Lord for our unbelief. And yet, I hurry on to say that we need to be convinced of the love of the Father so that we will not fall into this sin repeatedly. And that is why we need to be sure of this love. If you are absolutely convinced of the Father's love for you, then you will not doubt it. And the Apostle John provides proof here in our text. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The word love here is the word agape in the Greek. And I mention that because this is the strongest word for love in the New Testament. But it is a word that has the sense of being a love that bestows. In other words, this love is a love that has effects, or it has proof from the benefits that it confers. And so this is a love then that receives us into the number and gives us the right to all the privileges of the sons of God, as the shorter catechism says. You see, what is the proof of this love? It is our adoption, for we read there, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons," or the children of God. Turn with me to Romans 8 and the verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 15. Here we read of the Father adopting us. Romans 8 and the verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And so God the Father becomes our Father. By his act of sovereign grace in sending Christ to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption of sons, as we read in Galatians 4. And so this love is shown, is proven, by the fact that the Father adopts us into his family. But furthermore, the Father names his adopted children as his own. He in fact calls them the children of God. And we see that in this verse, that we should be called the sons of God. And so this goes a step further. The word sons here, it means children born into the family, the offspring of God. It denotes genuine descendants. And so when it speaks here of the children of God, it is not speaking of children by adoption, but children by birth. And so this is a remarkable thing. God the Father not only adopts us as his children, but he calls us his own children by birth. Now this is a staggering reality. You look with me in chapter 5 and the verse 1 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 1. And this theme of being the offspring of God is something that the Apostle John often speaks of. And he refers to it in the words being born of God. Look in 1 John 5 and the verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, what a statement that is. Those of you who are listening into this broadcast, if you have believed that Jesus is the Christ, if you have received him as your Savior, then you are a person that has been born of God. You are the child of God. We are regenerated by God. It is the Father that according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, as the Apostle Peter says. Surely this is staggering. That we would not only be adopted, but that we would be called the children of God. We see that in chapter 2 in the verse 29. For John says there, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. This is staggering. A staggering reality. But yet, it is also a present reality for the believer. For look with me in verse 2 of chapter 3. And John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This status of being called the children of God is not something that we are looking forward to. It is not something that we receive whenever Christ comes and gathers us together. It is not something that we will have in glory. This is something that is now. You are the child of God now, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that present reality is not changed by the circumstances of life. It is not affected by the experiences that you have. You are now a child of God. By your union with Jesus Christ, you are a part of the family of God, and therefore you are loved as the Son is loved. And that is incredible. You turn with me to John 17 and the verse 23 as we close. And it is something that is almost incredible to even begin to understand, that we would be loved as the Father loves his only begotten Son. And yet this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in John 17 and the verse 23. He says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And notice those words at the end of that verse. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, the Father's love for his Son extends to all those who are in him. And that means you, dear child of God, today. Oh, is this not something that we should meditate upon? Is this not something that we should remind ourselves of every day? Should we not follow what the Apostle John says here? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Should we not today behold that love and think upon it? For when we do, we will be caused to rejoice. We will be lifted up above our circumstances and all that we are afflicted in today. And no matter what you are facing, dear child of God, here is something to meditate upon. The Father's love. It is a fatherly love, a foreign love, and a free love. And you can be sure of it because you have been adopted into the family of God and you have been called a child of God. And so may the word of God today encourage you and lift you up. God has blessed us. As we read in Ephesians 1 and the verse 3, that the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And we thank him for that today. And may the Lord lift up your heart as you meditate upon the Father's love and upon the proof of it in his adopting and calling you as his child. Let's just bow together in prayer as we close. Gracious Lord, we do ask that you will apply your word to our hearts now. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to think upon these blessed truths, how we rejoice in the love of our Heavenly Father, how we are amazed at all that he has done. And we pray that today, Lord, you will bless us as we meditate upon these truths. And help each one who has heard this message, O Lord, to understand and to see its relevance for them. And we pray, O Lord, that your word will comfort and exhort and build up, and Lord, will produce fruit in our lives. O Lord, bless us, we pray. May your word do its divine work in our hearts. And we leave these things in thy hand. And give thee all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.